morning, U.S. versus Bullock. Mr. Rath.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'd like to start off by stating that the 1,200 months that Judge Derjagian imposed on Carl Bullock is an unfair and unjust sentence for the delivery of 110 grams of heroin. This is supported, the unfairness of this sentence is supported in part by the very, at the time of the sentencing hearing, the probation office did an initial PSI, even though it was subsequently corrected after the judge made the sentencing ruling. But their initial recommendation to Judge Derjagian was 262 to 327 months. The government said that even though Carl Bullock potentially qualified for life imprisonment, the government's recommendation to Judge Derjagian was 30 years. Judge Derjagian, on the other hand, decided to impose a sentence of 1,200 months, which was 3 to 4 times the sentencing range, or above the sentencing range, of the probation office report. This imposition of this sentence is unfair and is not supported legally. At the time of the plea, this was a blind plea in the sense that there was no agreement between the government and the defendant. The government wanted, at the time of the plea negotiations, the government was asking a certain number of years. The defendant did not believe, based on the quantity of the heroin that he was charged with delivering, that he would be required to serve anywhere near that time. What ended up happening is the government says that essentially to induce Carl Bullock to plead guilty will dismiss count one. Now this, to me, and this is something that I believe this court has to look at, not only for this case, but for cases throughout the system. When the government says that they're going to dismiss a count, this was the conspiracy count, and it was certainly the most serious of the counts. It was done specifically to induce the plea. It was the incentive for Carl Bullock to decide to plead guilty. And yet, at the time of sentencing, even though none of this comes as a surprise to anybody, because it was clearly stated that count one would be introduced as relevant conduct, but it seems that this is simply something that is unfair to defendants, to say to a defendant that we are going to dismiss the most serious count that we're required to prove beyond a reasonable doubt should you take us to trial, and then at the time of the sentencing hearing be able to use that very same count in order to enhance the sentence, just seems to be fundamental unfairness. But those, to me, are the fairness arguments. The fact the probation office recommended a sentencing range of a certain number of months. Judge Derjagian ended up essentially quadrupling it. That the government set, at least in their mind, a limit. Judge Derjagian tripled that. And the fact that that count one gets introduced against the defendant, despite the fact that the government says we're dismissing it. But let me turn to legal arguments. The specific legal arguments is that 18 U.S.C. 3553A, which, of course, are the sentencing factors that are now to be considered by the trial court at the time of the sentencing hearing post-Booker, makes it very clear that a judge has an obligation to review and explain the sentencing factors. It is the position of Carl Bullock that Judge Derjagian simply said, yes, these are the sentencing factors, and I have looked at these 5 or 6 sentencing factors, and based on that, I'm giving you 1,200 months.
I understood, counsel, that life was the top end of the applicable guidelines range.
Yes.
Is that the case?
Yes.
And our cases post-Booker have said that if the sentence comes in within the guidelines range, even at the top, that the level of specific consideration of 3553A factors that the district court has to speak to on the record is less than if the judge goes outside of the guidelines range, which obviously was technically impossible in this case. But
and I think your case in Spano that you decided relatively recently perhaps addressed that to some extent. Nevertheless, the 3553, the judge certainly was not required to sentence Carl Bullock to life imprisonment. This was simply a choice on his part, and he could have sentenced Carl Bullock to any number of years that started as low as 7 years, which was the argument that Carl Bullock made, or that essentially I made at sentencing. The judge imposed life. I think post-Booker, the courts, the district courts, have an obligation to at least examine the 3553 factors. One of the factors that this court recently addressed, or at least at the end of December of 2005, in the case of Newsom, was 355A6. See, time goes very quickly in this place. I'll talk one more minute, but I do want to reserve some time. 355A6 essentially says that courts now have an obligation to look at the disparity of sentencing among defendants. The point that I made in my brief is that all the defendants here received, those who pled guilty averaged 105 months, those who went to trial got 420 months. That Carl Booker got 1,200 months is simply unfair. And the final point I want to make before I sit down and at least leave a minute or so for rebuttal is that it is my belief that part of what happened at the sentencing hearing was a very unusual sentencing hearing. It ran for 6 hours. And during the time, Judge Derryagin essentially gave Carl Bullock an opportunity to sit down and speak with his attorney and see if he would accept count one, essentially acknowledge his responsibility for count one. When Carl Bullock came back and said, look, I'm not accepting responsibility for count one because the government dismissed count one, Judge Derryagin essentially said, well, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. You're not accepting responsibility, then I'm going to give you the maximum possible sentence I could give you. And that is 100 years, five consecutive terms. I'm asking this court, if you choose to reverse Judge Derryagin's sentence, that not simply to remand it, but in fact to impose a sentence of 20 years concurrent on the five deliveries. Thank you. I'd like to reserve the rest for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Rath. Ms. Moncrief?
May it please the court. First, I would like to clear up something that Mr. Rath just said. The guideline range at the end of the sentencing was life. It was a level 43 criminal history category number.
I know that. Oh, I just wonder why the government is even defending this sentence. You argued that, urged the judge to impose a 360-month sentence, which is horrendously long to begin with. I have never seen a sentence like this. 1,200 months? I've never, in all my years, seen a sentence like this in a guideline case. And if it's, this sentence is so far beyond his life expectancy, even.
Well, Your Honor, first of all, with all due respect, I don't believe that we're here today to re-sentence the defendant. We are here to decide whether or not
it's reasonable.
Judge Derryagin's judgment.
We're here to decide whether the sentence is reasonable.
Absolutely. And I'm going
now,
to tell
you. The sentence you recommended, 360 months, you must have thought was certainly reasonable.
Well, the assistant U.S. attorney at that time did believe 30 years was reasonable. That does not mean, however, that a different sentence, a more
that
severe
years
sentence.
Is,
yes,
it's a pretty big sentence,
well,
of reasonableness.
It is life. It's tantamount to life. And the reason we got to 100 years...
It's not here tantamount to life, because what is his life expectancy?
Well, Your Honor, respectfully, I do think that when someone is sentenced to life, they are expected to be in prison, at least to the general public, for life. 5G1.1 in the sentencing guidelines tells us that when the statutory maximum is under the guideline sentence, that the statutory maximum shall be the guideline sentence. So what Judge Duryagian did was he said, for each of these counts, I am going to approximate a life sentence, and I'm going to give 5 20-year sentences for the 5 heroin deliveries that Mr. Bullock did, and that was 1,200 months. Now, all of that aside, if we're going to talk about fairness for this particular defendant and fairness of his sentence compared to those in his case, he is most deserving. He had 3 previous drug convictions, which would have made him eligible for a mandatory life sentence twice over. 2 previous convictions would have gotten him that sentence, but he had 3. In addition, this is also the leader of a highly violent, well-known drug-dealing street gang. This is a person who carried a weapon on him at all times.
Were all those 3 convictions in state court?
They were, Your Honor.
So this is the first time he'd been charged in federal court?
It was. Additionally, with regard to the acceptance of responsibility, I believe, you know, appellant wants this court to believe that Judge Duryagian somehow retaliated against the defendant, and that's not what happened. At the change of plea hearing, when the government made the representation that count one would be dismissed, it was also made clear to the defendant at that time that we would still seek to hold the defendant accountable for the relevant conduct. This isn't a situation where the defendant wasn't charged with count one. We were prepared to prove that. I don't know why the defendant wanted that count to be gone, perhaps so he could avoid a statutory minimum. But the government made clear at that time that they were going to seek to hold him accountable for that relevant conduct. Even in the defendant's sentencing memorandums, he's objecting, saying the government is trying to hold us responsible for this relevant conduct, which was the defendant was on fair notice all during the proceedings.
Well, it looks to me, though, when you had this adjournment during the hearing that the judge wanted him to admit to the conduct in count one. And it looks to me like he was being punished because he wouldn't admit that.
Well, Your Honor, I think it was clear to everyone in that room, including Mr. Bullock, that he was responsible for the conduct in count one. There were numerous grand jury statements and interviews of other co-defendants, ample evidence that showed the defendant was a common scheme or plan, same course of conduct. He was intricately intertwined with the 340 building. Everyone knew it, and the defendant, even in his sentencing hearing, makes several statements on the transcript pages, I believe, 13 and 14 and 37, and finally on pages 66 and 67, he's saying, you know, the only thing I'm admitting to here is right now, today, you know, honestly, I don't think that if I had done half these things that they would take this case to trial. Why wouldn't they take me to trial on count one? All through here in those pages that I cited, the defendant is still denying it. The judge is giving him an opportunity to say, look, it's clear that this relevant conduct is attributable to you. I am giving you the chance to help yourself. Everyone was trying to help Mr. Bullock that day except Mr. Bullock. He comes back, no, I'm not taking responsibility for that. I'll just take responsibility for the heroin. It was not a retaliatory move. It was all that the judge could do based on the defendant's conduct during the hearing and his conduct out on the streets of Chicago.
Under the sentencing scheme that now exists, could the judge has sentenced him to life, not a term of months, but life imprisonment?
Well, I believe so, Judge. But I believe that based on the guideline, as I said earlier, 5G1.1, the judge was approximating a life sentence by following that guideline when it says that the statutory maximum shall be the guideline sentence if the maximum is lower than the guidelines. 20 years is obviously lower than life. So for each count, he gave the maximum, which he's instructed to do.
But that gets back to my question. Could he sentence to life in prison?
Well, post-Booker, Judge, he can pretty much sentence him to anything he likes, call it life or 100.
That sounds a little different than 1,200 months.
What's your zone of reasonableness in this case? Running from what month to what month would have been a reasonable sentence?
In my personal opinion, Judge?
Well, sure. Give me your personal opinion.
Based on everything that I have read, which not all of it is in the record, I believe that this sentence is reasonable. I believe that the assistant...
The assistant who recommended 360 months was not being reasonable.
To me, there's not one reasonable sentence. It's as if you say, you know, here's somebody who's charged with this. You know, is 20 years enough? I don't know. Is 30? Okay, but I'd feel more comfortable with 75.
Has any district judge in this building ever given a sentence that's this long in a drug case?
I'm not aware of a 1,200-month sentence. I'm aware of many life sentences, which it's the same judge.
About 1,200 months. Has anybody given a sentence like that?
I'm not aware of it.
I'm not aware of it. I know, maybe if you know. I mean, is this the absolute worst guy to ever come in this building?
Well, I don't know that since I've only been here for about a year, but Judge, my basis of practicing law for a while, he's pretty bad. And I'd feel more comfortable if he's in prison than on our streets, that's for sure.
Is he worse than everybody in the Epps case?
Well, I don't know that, but what I do know is that he was a leader in the Gangster Disciples.
How old is Mr. Bullock?
Judge, I don't know. I believe he's in his early 40s. I'd have to look back. But what I do know is Mr. Epps, who was the top of the conspiracy case at the 340 building, was underneath Mr. Bullock. Mr. Bullock was tied into an individual known as Sundown, who was a very high board member, if you will, of the Gangster Disciples. Mr. Bullock repeatedly called for violations, and I don't think I'm speaking out of turn. I believe this is all in the record in the government's version, that he ordered people shot. This isn't somebody who, oh, he just happened to get involved with a confidential informant and sell him small amounts of heroin five times. This is somebody who was high up in that gang and didn't get there by accident. So, yes, I think a life sentence is reasonable. The AUSA at the trial level thought 30 years was reasonable. And 1,200 months, if that equals life and that means that he's inside until the end of his, then, yes, that is reasonable.
Well, 30 years was practically a life sentence if he's in his mid-40s, or at least it's potentially a life sentence.
Perhaps, although...
Depending on, you know...
Depending on his health and what good behavior is.
Right. I mean, that's a very long sentence.
It is. And he was quite deserving.
Would have done the trick for incapacitating him if that was the government's goal.
I think that we're probably arguing a little bit, though, about semantics. I mean, it's how you define life. In appellant's brief, he defined it as 50 years. I know at the state, 50 years doesn't even come near life. Life is considered to be, you know, 99 years or even life. I think that it sounds bad to all of us. You know, oh, 1,200 months. But it's life. Judge Duryagian looked at all of the factors in 3553, and for Mr. Rath to say that he didn't, I think, is disingenuous. You can see afterwards he says he does read them all, and he says, you know, after considering all the evidence in this case, drug distribution tears into the very fabric of society and results in the death of individuals and destruction of families.
We know all
that.
I know this guy doesn't deserve to be on the... know, the Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors or something like that. But this sentence just seems so out of line to other sentences I've seen in my 30 years as a judge. And if you can tell me any comparable sentences that you've seen, I'd like to hear about it.
Well, Judge, I'm out of time if I may respond.
Sure.
I have prosecuted a lot of cases at the state level before, none of which have seen an individual violent as Mr. Bullock, and they've received life sentences all the time.
Those are entirely different. Here you serve 85.5% of the sentence.
Right.
And it's actually imposed in federal court. What were the sentences in state court? Judge Keeney's permission here.
Sure.
What were... I bet you the sentences in state court were...
No, I don't...
Long.
No, they weren't.
He got probation the first one, right? And he violated his probation and served 4 years.
And I can't remember the second one. But, Judge, I mean, we're dealing with somebody who could have
been... Well, when you move from state court into federal court, you're going to be in for a big surprise if you're not familiar with it. And that's obviously what happened here.
And we can't ignore the fact that this could have been a mandatory life case, too, ignoring one of his convictions. So if you want to say, you know, oh, well, this is more than life, he already earned life and then he had another conviction. And so I'll conclude with asking you to affirm the district court sentence.
Thank you. How much time? You have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Your Honor, this doesn't just sound bad to this court. This sounds bad to anybody I've ever told this case about. 1,200 months is absolutely outrageous. And I think that the Court of Appeals needs to send a message that these kinds of sentences are just out of hand. This isn't appropriate. The government, in recommending 30 years, was an enormous sentence, as Judge Sykes has said. This indeed would have essentially been a life sentence for Carl Bullock. To send Mr. Bullock away, what the problem here is that the district court judge has enormous authority and he abused his discretion. That's what the problem is here. And I think this court has to say that this is just not what the district court judge should do. Your Honor, you asked what were his sentences in state court. I think the most he ever got was 4 years. And as the court is well aware, when people come from the state court to the federal court, they are in for a rude surprise. It is enormously different time. People are used to 3, 4, 5 years in state court and find themselves often starting at 10 years and going further. Mr. Bullock did not want to admit to the conduct in count one because he is not exactly an educated man. And I'll tell you, relevant conduct is not exactly a concept that is all that easy to explain to almost any defendant. It is a concept that eludes most defendants' understanding. Is how am I being charged? You could be a charge for acquitted conduct. This doesn't sink into most people's heads. He said, okay, the government essentially is giving me a deal. They're saying, and he's used to the state court situation. Getting rid of count one, I'll take my medicine on counts 2 through 6. I never said anything other than I was guilty of that. The transcript makes it crystal clear, and I would ask this court to certainly reverse the sentence, and I would please not ask it be remanded, but I would ask that this court impose a sentence of 20 years concurrent as to all 5 pleas of guilty.
Mr. Rath, I ask the age of your client. Do you know what it is?
I do.
Is it in the record?
I have it here in the pre-sentence report. If the court could...
It's in the pre-sentence report? That's fine. That's all we need.
It's in the 40s someplace.
Mr. Rath, also, you were appointed both in the district court and here.
Yes, I was, Your Honor.
You have the thanks of the court for vigorously representing your client.
Thank you very much.
The case will be taken under advisement, and court will be in recess until 9:30 tomorrow morning.